You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Woo! We made it. We made it through our offseason Super Bowl, the draft. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of the prospects and all the teams. Mm-hmm. This is the El Huddle Podcast. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz with, of course, mi hermano, mi primo hermano, Will Selva in the house.
Yeah.
Will, what does it feel like? I know the draft is only 3 days, but it felt like it was 2 weeks long. So much happened.
I mean, it's the ultimate reality TV show every year where fortunes literally are won and lost, dreams are realized. And you sense the accomplishment for these young men to make it into the NFL, reaching a lifelong dream, and the emotions that come from them from reaching that particular goal. It's fun. You see how many people just across the country, around the world, those who listen to us, how much the draft means to them, whether it's their own team, whether it's a particular prospect or the particular prospect story, because you and I, we've had a chance to interview some of these draft prospects and know them a little bit better and their family history and what really makes them tick. So just for us being ones on the inside, we get a chance to interview these guys. You root for them because you want to see them take that next step. Right.
And here's the thing, like I know people understand, I think in an obtuse level, like the amount of work that goes into becoming an NFL player. But I think it's glazed over by most that this is these guys' entire lives, right? Like there's not one moment of their training of off field that isn't dedicated to being a professional football player from the moment probably that they step on the Pop Warner field, right? As peewees, when the helmets are too big for their heads. So it really is a culmination of a life's work, even though they're only, 21, 22 years old in some cases. The elderly guys are 25-year-old quarterbacks. By the way, if I see one more person call these guys elderly at the age of 25, I understand what they're saying in terms like, oh, you want a guy who's 21? Stop it. Stop it
old
right
heads?
Now.
Old heads works.
Anything. More experienced. Don't call them elderly. But it is cool. I mean, I think that I always wait for the tears because I don't even think they expect to be that emotional in that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it almost looks like it catches them off guard. Like, no, I'm ready for this. And then suddenly they're like, oh, crap. Like, this is what I've been working for since I can remember. It's really very sweet. Seeing the parents, too, is always my favorite part as well. And of course, we got some Latino representation this year, baby.
Yeah.
We do every year. But this year, I think especially seeing in the first round, a guy like Christian Gonzalez, who we've had a family connection with here on the El Huddle podcast, that was really special, Will.
Yes, that was special with him. There was also Steve Avila as well. We're going to hear from him. He was on the podcast as well. Then there is Chris Rodriguez as well. He got drafted in round 6. He out of Kentucky, an absolute bulldozer of a runner. Then there's Jose Ramirez too. He went to the Bucks also in the 6th round. Jalen Moreno Cropper, who we had on, he was an undrafted free agent. He went with the Cowboys. He was out of Fresno State. Really nice guy. Really talked about how the familial connection was important to him and where he came from and to, again, reach that dream. It was a little bit different. Didn't get drafted, but good for him. And there's also Mariano Sori Marin. He is a linebacker now for the 49ers, another undrafted free agent. What's funny is immediately afterward, everybody says, let's do draft grades, winners, losers. And there's a great line from Ted Lasso where it says, find out before you flip out. Because
I just watched that episode.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We won't spoil it for anybody.
No, but it's such a great line, right?
It is.
And it really resonated with me, and especially when it comes to the post-draft evaluations, because mm-hmm. it is too early to tell what's in store for these guys or how they're going to perform and what some coaching is going to do or if injuries are going to sideline them. Let the process play out. Let's see what happens, because the reality is not all of the first rounders are going to make an impact. As a matter of fact, half of them are likely going to fall way short of expectations. Even now, if you look at the 2020 draft and some of those guys who now are seeing their fifth-year option not getting picked up, guys like Chase Young was an absolute beast for Ohio State, but he's been hurt a lot. And then you have someone like Isaiah Simmons, who was a player that a lot of people thought coming out of Clemson, boy, this hybrid linebacker type, really athletic, can run with the running backs and the tight ends, but he can be a mauler at the line of scrimmage. And they fall short, and it doesn't happen for them. So let's keep that in mind. Let's find out before we flip out, people. That is the main message.
That's the new motto. Don't get ahead of yourselves, and give them some grace to actually install into these teams, to learn a playbook, to get to know their teammates and their coaches and their coordinators, and then really see what the entire process looks. Because in reality, it's not just on the player. A lot of it is, but the scheme has a lot to do with it. Everything. There's so many layers to this aspect. But going back to one of the top moments, I think, Will, was Christian Gonzalez opening up that blazer, and you see the Colombian flag inside. Excellent touch by our boy. He did great.
Yeah, love the outfit. This is how it sounded like when he got drafted.
With the 17th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Christian Gonzalez, defensive back, Oregon.
It was the smirk on the commission's face, too, that did it for me. He's like, oh, man, they got a good one. You can tell.
It shocked me, though, that he fell to the Patriots. To be honest with you, I thought that he was going to go to the Lions. The Lions shipped off Jeff Okuda to the Falcons, and they were in the market for a cornerback. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he fit that system. He would be great in Detroit, and a lot of mock drafts had him going there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that what to remember, and our draft analysts and our draft experts will tell you this, like, mock drafts are not so much about getting the placement right, but more so the names of the guys that we really need to be paying attention to in certain rounds and in specific position groups. But I thought he would have gone a little higher, to be honest, but I'm excited for him. I think in terms historically with the Patriots defense, I mean, the way that they develop the guys in their secondary is excellent. So I think for him, this is going to be great. I'm a little conflicted because you know how big of a fan I am of Christian Gonzalez, but now my squad has to go up against him twice a year. And look, he's going to have his handful with the offense, with the pass catchers in Miami. Lots of speed there, but I'll always root for him. You know, I feel like we've seen him sort of grown up through this draft process. I'm excited. But hey, those two games in the regular season were friends off. Sorry, Christian. Don't take it personally. It's just football.
Well, let's hear what he had to say to Melissa Stark after he was drafted. And he talks about what really motivates him.
Good things come to those who wait. You are going to be playing for a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Belichick. What does this mean to you?
Well, it means everything. I'm super excited for this opportunity, and I can't wait to get out there and just go to work.
Okay, show us what's inside the jacket. I know you told me about it on the red carpet. Tell us the significance.
Colombian. It just means everything. Putting on for everybody back in Colombia, and I love that they're able to look up to me.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh my God, I have so many more questions about the jacket. I know Melissa only has a certain amount of time before the next pick is in. But it was really, really just such a great touch by him, the representation. I mean, we talked to his sister, of course, also named Melissa, here on the podcast. And you could just tell how important their background is and their culture is to them, especially, you know, she represents the country at the Olympics. So it made me feel really proud. That he did. I mean, I was screaming in the green room. Well,
Yeah.
This felt,
I was happy for him.
This felt like the draft version of when Bad Bunny opened the Grammys with the full reggaeton merengue tribute off the top there. I was like, we're out here. We did it. Like, you know what it is to have your flag represented at the NFL draft? Like, that's huge.
Huge
the whole
deal.
World is watching. So I'm never going to be over it. That's still, to me, like the top moment. For sure.
No, I love it. And we always celebrate all the Hispanics, Latinos who make a difference, not just in the NFL, but en el mundo entero, right? Mm-hmm. In the entire world. And to see Christian Gonzalez take that responsibility and to showcase it to the world, as you mentioned, is huge. These guys, whenever they talk about their outfits, and this is pre-draft, they're very much coy about it. They never want to reveal what they're going to be wearing. So as soon as they open that up, I, again, think of my parents and mira, ahí está otro Latino. And let's be honest, and we've talked about on this podcast, there haven't been a lot of Latinos, right? There hasn't been a lot of representation that goes in the GM, coaching, and even player ranks. But to slowly see these guys embrace their background and la cultura, right? All that was really neat. You know, you mentioned his sister, Melissa. Well, both sisters run for the Colombian Olympic team.
Right.
You know, and the father was a semi-pro basketball player as well.
Hooper.
Yeah, big time hooper. And this is the one thing that we found out when we spoke to Melissa that I still can't believe that he told us.
Who motivates me to play is definitely my dad and my whole family. My dad is from Colombia. He moved here when he was 18 to play basketball and chase his dream. And for him to leave his family and come to a country and he didn't even speak English to become a successful man and raise a great family, it's just, I owe it back to him and my mom.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so a couple things. His dad's jersey said Piratas, but for a moment, so like when my dad played, once we got to New York, he found like an Optimus League so he could keep playing basketball. Their names were Pioneros, so the Pioneers, but like all of the jerseys were of course all in Spanish. So like for a moment there, it was like a glimpse of looking at my dad. I think that's also, I mean, I haven't been shy about it, right? Like there's been so many parallels in his story and just his background being a Black Latino. And I think that's why we haven't, now we feel like we see so many more Latinos, like the Fred Warners, and of course the Christian Gonzalez is out there because there are so many more Afro-Latinos who are coming out and saying, yeah, this is also part of my heritage, where I think probably, and I know in my experience, you've had to like pick a side. Well, which one are you? Are you Black or are you Latino? When really the diaspora is so wide that it includes so many different shades and backgrounds and ethnicities. And so it's really important for those stories to be told. Like I'm 30 something years old and I feel like that giddy young little girl watching the television, looking for somebody who looked like me. And every time I see it, I get hype. So I'm just imagining the younger generation now who is going to come up having that in front of them all the time. So this is why I think it's so important for players like the Fred Warners, like the Christian Gonzalez's and all the other ones too, Moreno Croppers, to really share in that intersectionality that they represent. It's really special. And it makes me really proud for sure.
Yeah, no, me too. And that's the reason why we do this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes on the outside, people think like, oh, why are you just highlighting Latinos? Why aren't you highlighting, you know, this particular group or that particular group of individuals? And is it for us, me and you, somos Latinos, right? And for us, it's a prideful thing. And there aren't many of us out there, but we are seeing more and more. And this is a celebration.
Exactly.
It's not an excluding. This is celebrating, highlighting not only the established Latino voices, but the ones that are coming as well. And we've highlighted these different voices, not just in the NFL, but just also in the entertainment business as well. We've had comedians on, we've had actors on, and the representation's important. And we like to stick our head up high and our chest out. And we want to look out and say, yes, somos Latinos. This is who we are. And this is why we're proud. I just sometimes get confused sometimes when people say, oh, well, why don't you do this sort of one right. and that sort of one? It's like, no. This is a celebration of what we're doing. This is exactly. highlighting what we are, these individuals who are like us.
Right.
And that we don't see enough of, and we want to see more of.
And I think the whole point, too, is that it's not a monolith. We as a community are not a monolith. Like, we learn things even just about one another, like your culture and my culture and how it matches and the things that are different. Right. And I think the more we talk, the more we see what brings us together and how much we can learn from the things that make us a little bit different from one another. Different doesn't mean wrong. It, for me, it's an opportunity to be like, wow, I just learned this really cool. Hey, can I get the recipe to how your mom used to make this
yes.
and that? Like, it's a beautiful journey for everybody here. So as much as we want to educate everybody else and find that community, we're also learning as we go through this. And one thing we learned from Christian Gonzalez's sister, Melissa, was that whatever locker room he gets into is going to get like a pretty chill guy. I was expecting a little bit more from Big Sis, but she kept it real with us about her very not annoying little brother.
What I really want to know is, he's your little brother. How annoying was he growing up?
Yeah.
You can tell us. How annoying was he?
He was not annoying. Honestly,
what?
He was not.
What?
He, I know.
Only boy, right?
That's not true. Boy. Come on.
I promise you he was not annoying. He's 8. He was born when I was 8. So we have 8 years in between us. So I feel like that age gap kind of like we didn't get on each other's nerves. We just really got along really great. And I really, really wasn't annoying. He was just so like fun
to
be around.
Because he was scared of her. Because she was big sis. Look, my brother's the only boy as well. The youngest. And he's also 8 years my junior. I'm telling him, like, are we the same family? Just like one in Colombia and one in DR. It's very weird. A lot of parallels. But
well, was he annoying?
I mean, I don't think it. He wasn't annoying in the sense like always like running around. Like, he was actually a pretty calm kid. But for me, I was almost like a second mom, right? Like, my parents worked.
That's
so
right.
I was like another beyond a babysitter. Like, I would take them to like dance practice with me after school and like, you know, take care of them and make dinner. So it wasn't like a traditional big sis little brother relationship where, you know, we're only a couple of years apart and like we're picking on each other. Like, it really was more protective. So perhaps that's why it was like that. But also, even when you see Christian Gonzalez in interviews, like, he does seem very chill, like very laid back,
like crazy chill. Yeah.
Which is nuts for a DB, right? Like, he gets after.
Well, that's what you want, though, right? Somebody who's unflappable, you know, oftentimes we see guys like Jalen Ramsey, you know, Richard Sherman, who aren't afraid to get in your face and just chat away and talking all sorts of trash. And it doesn't seem like he's like that at all, that he is very chill.
I mean, maybe he is, because like little brother Christian and probably like football player Christian are two different people, I bet.
Yeah,
right?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, and she also revealed like he's an excellent cook as well. So
yes,
Christian would be quite the catch, let's just say.
Yes.
Now that he's with the Patriots, obviously wishing the very best. And let's hope that he comes on the El Huddle podcast now that we got some I want to say dirt, but it's not really dirt.
It's not.
Not at all. Like, we just got some information on him, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we were also looking at it as like, okay, now he's our like little cousin, nuestro primo, right? Like, so we're like, all right, tell us what's going on. Like, what can we, like, as his big cousins, like, what can we pick on him with? But you can tell that he's a good kid and the family has just been so supportive with one another. And I can't wait to get to know more of our prospects like that as they go through like their NFL journey now. This is really exciting. What a time.
What a time. And we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hear from one of the other prospects that we happen to have on the podcast, who was very happy to be drafted and drafted high at that. That's coming up.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, this is Les Snead, Los Angeles Rams.
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
No good.
No doubt. Well, let me ask you this. You want to be a Los Angeles Rams if we draft you?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. Well, I'm going to put you on the phone with your new head coach, Sean McVay. Congrats, my man.
Congratulations.
Hey, coach.
How you doing, man? You excited?
Hey, coach. I'm ready to go, coach.
I mean, you couldn't cast.
Love it.
You could not, and they did, by the way, last year.
Steve Avila, yeah.
It better, like, I'm talking about Les Snead and Sean McVay. Like, they are the quintessential, like, Los Angeles GM head coach pair. Like,
you
just have to look at them and be like, you're definitely in LA, right? Like, the tan, yeah. The spiky hair, it's so good. First guy off the board for the Rams. Love this fit. Mm-hmm. We, obviously, you spoke with Steve Avila, so we know the kind of character that he has, what he brings. I mean, I thought this was fantastic, and I love to see him go so quickly in the second round. Like, this was really, really cool moment.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that the Rams haven't had a first round pick in like 7 straight years?
They don't care.
So like, this year, this year they decided to address a lot of needs, and offensive line was definitely one of them. Steve Avila is very talented, on a very talented TCU team. If you think about it, there were a lot of players from TCU that were selected.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnston got selected by the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on and on. We can list more. There's Hodges Tomlinson. He was a defensive back.
That's
from TCU.
LT's,
so that's LT's nephew. Yeah. So it was fun to see. And, you know, Steve Avila, you know, his name is Esteban Luis.
I love, oh my Esteban God, I love it Luis. So much. I love it
de
so
una novela. All those novelas that my parents made me watch, like, there was no choice.
Have you watched the Luis Miguel, like, bio series? It's a novela, but it's like 200 episodes, I think it's on Netflix, on his entire career.
I saw it.
One day I logged in and I was like,
watched it.
I didn't watch this many episodes. My husband was just at home. He was at home binging Luis.
Binging?
Man.
Watching?
He loved it. I was like, what is happening? Then I got into it. It's a very interesting story for sure. But like, I grew up listening to Luis Miguel, had the posters. Mm-hmm. Like, it's intense.
Oh, yeah.
Esteban Luis. I love it.
Yeah.
That's going to be a
great name,
Luis
but
posters.
He just said, Well, he just had said that his freshman year of football, his coach did not know how to say it. So that's when he became Steve. And so
pardon my eye roll.
I know.
God.
And that's something that I know would have absolutely killed my parents and made them mad, quite frankly, with my name being what it is and it being changed by people. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was a time my freshman football coach, I know there's something about the freshman football coaches and the name
but also
changes.
Figure but, it but, out. It's his name. Like, figure it out.
You well, can, yes. Yeah. You could do that or just call him something different. I mean, my coach called me Bill. I remember it's like,
come on.
I am not Bill. Stop it already. So, mm-mm. You know, he dealt with it. I think he's got a really cool name. He has a really funny personality and doesn't take himself too seriously, but really talked about just becoming a leader as he went along at TCU and establishing himself and being vocal, even has his own podcast. And we did have him on, has excellent hair, has your kind of hair, by the way.
I know, my boy.
So really, really needed you when we were talking to him, because I know you would have loved talking to him. But this is what he had to say about his family and the restaurant that his family owns.
My grandparents actually have a restaurant down in Haverhillville called Avila's Barbecue, which is pretty fun. But,
nice.
Yeah, it's a barbecue place. It's sort of like has a little Mexican-ish, you know, taste to it. You know, they serve a lot of their stuff with pico de gallo, but it's really good. But, you know, I remember growing up, you know, always hearing, you know, Hispanic music playing. There's a lot of Hispanic music that I like that I don't have, I have no idea what they're saying, but you know, it's always, but
Are you a fan of Bad Bunny? Are you a fan
not so
of
much.
Those?
I'm more of like older-ish, like Prince Royce's old stuff. I don't listen to it too much, but like when I do listen to it, that's some of the stuff that I listen to.
Okay, Bachata Head, another Afro Latino,
right?
Killing it. Not him shutting off the Dominican artist. Okay, Esteban.
And you'd be into it.
That's it. He's my new best friend. He doesn't even know it. Also, I just got this vision of like one of his tías or family members coming in with like a tray of food from the restaurant to like the Rams facility, the like first day of training camp.
I can see that happening because... Right? Because he had a draft party that I believe was hosted at TCU, and I asked him if the catering would be done by the restaurant, and I believe that I think they had a part in it.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
It had that flavor to it. So just
I just thought of a new series.
Great. Yeah. I mean, he's great. I could see him franchising that restaurant, you know, and doing
we gotta
more
do a
with
Hey
it.
Rookie
so just...
cuisine edition. Christian Gonzalez gets behind the stove. Let's go. We go to Steve Avila's family's restaurant. We got a couple. There's a lot of foodies in the mix.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
Well,
of foodies.
we mentioned Christian Gonzalez. He's apparently
that's
a
what I mean.
Cook, according
We're gonna
to
throw
Melissa,
him,
right?
Get him on the grill, get him in a chef's kitchen. Like, look, we have the resources. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. This would be great. Who do I pitch this to? And let it be known that on this day, MJ thought of this because you know somebody will steal the idea. So I just want to put it on the record. All right.
Yeah. If it's already not out there, we do know that rookie mini camps are here. So that's where we're going to get our first glimpse of all these guys in uniform and really, really learning the offense, right? Or learning the defense and kind of getting their feet wet. Mm-hmm. And obviously things really go full bore once more of the OTAs and training camp plays a part into it. So I am happy for him and a good guy and for all the prospects that we've had on and that have found a home and come on the podcast, you know, just come on the podcast.
Yeah. Come through.
We want to hear from
us.
You.
We're fun. We promise. I have to share this real quick because now that we're talking about the Rams and TCU, LT was on Total Access List with us yesterday and shared, this had not been put out anywhere, the video reaction video of the moment that Travis, his nephew got drafted and LT got all choked up, all emotional. And LT said that he didn't even expect to really get like that. But he's like, I remember being a player in that position and now to see my nephew, my bloodline do the same thing. And I was like, LT, look at you making us happy.
Yeah.
Cry. It was really, really sweet. Hall of Famers, they're just like us.
Yeah, it's like Us Weekly NFL edition. Because he also had, I think he had put out a video as well, just congratulating his nephew for, you know, being in the process and that kind of thing. So I know that he had an influence on him. And
they hosted
you know,
the draft party at LT's house. It was really sweet. I was like, hey, I know that backdrop. Yeah, that's where you go remote for the shows.
I think he's going to be a good player. I think that what the knock was on him was his size.
The size, right?
That he was small, but you know he's aggressive, not afraid to mix it up. Mm-hmm. So he's another one. Just happy for him. There's just so many of these stories, right, from the draft. You know, one of the moments for me that I actually enjoyed had to do with C.J. Stroud getting picked because. In the days and really the couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks ahead of the draft, it really felt like he was the forgotten man amongst a group
of
quarterbacks. That we were talking more about Anthony Richardson and his tantalizing raw talent or Will Levis and his bazooka of an arm. And it just didn't feel like he was getting as much buzz that Bryce Young was going to be, you know, pick number one. And that number two, we weren't sure what the Texans did. And then just to see C.J. Stroud, like, just overcome with emotion, And what we were talking about before, it's like, wow, I got drafted. This is happening. And coincidentally, as Bucky told us, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young have a lot of history together from their days as high schoolers in Southern California. So both of them being picked 1 and 2, and you saw just how important that was. And then we thought, okay, number 3, what's going to happen with the Cardinals who are picking there? And then they trade, and then the Texans end up picking Will Anderson Jr., who's a beast. We've had multiple times on Good Morning Football, and his story is so great. Talk about like Christian Gonzalez.
He's so likable, too. Same sort of
familial background, and so likable, so down to earth. When it gets time for business, he locks in. Mm-hmm. But just such a nice, nice guy.
100%.
And to see him and CJ Stroud going 2 and 3 makes the Texans one of those teams that have become instantly more interesting and watchable and exciting. And now they have D'Amico Ryans to kind of shepherd the way. That was a lot of fun to see what the Texans did and to see CJ Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. Both get drafted.
By the way, tremendous job by Jamie Erdahl and the story behind Will Anderson. I know, of course, she knew him and his story a bit from her time covering college football, but her bringing it to life and just going there and being around his 5 sisters was really, really special. To your point with the Texans, I'm so excited for that team. And I feel like they are very lucky to have D'Amico leading the way over there. We knew going into the draft, right, that they held sort of the fate of the rest of it in their hands at number 2, what they could do, what they would or wouldn't do. And he was aggressive about it. He was strategic about it. And there was like a willing participant in the Cardinals who everybody knew wanted to trade down. But the way they acted so quickly, I don't know if anybody saw that in between moment of CJ Stroud saying, wait a minute, how is the pick in for the Texans? And they just picked. So it caught him even off guard, right? Like that's incredible. And I think D'Amico's already making his imprint there as a head coach right off the bat. I think there's still a road to climb in Texas. I mean, it's a rebuild for sure, but man, no better person there. He's so well respected around the league. And you saw the reaction when he was named head coach there, and it's for many, many very good reasons. So I'm excited to see how this team sort of changes up, not just their division, but maybe the landscape of AFC. It's going to be very interesting, but he's not pulling any punches. And I love that for us.
Yeah, great move by them. You want to watch them and see now Mechie, he's supposedly coming back and from his recovery. So lots of great storylines. We had mentioned mock drafts and what Bucky Brooks said about doing mock drafts, but we got to give credit to Daniel Jeremiah.
Listen,
DJ called 2 and 3.
Yep.
And he had an over 80% success rate of picks. And that's hard. And you have to know what you're doing and to evaluate. And listen, all of our draft analysts, whether it's, you know, Bucky Brooks, whether it's Lance Zierlein. I mean, they obviously do so much homework throughout the year, so much evaluating, so much film room work. And to see DJ, you know, we know DJ, I mean, he's a total jokester. He is not afraid to give you crap, right?
There's something about the draft experts. They got you almost have to be part comedian to like do the job, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's a punchiness there for sure. Mm-hmm. And when that was going down and CJ Stroud, he was obviously taken off, caught off guard. But, you know, I saw like DJ when they were talking about, you know, the pick and everything, like he had that little smirk on his face.
Of course
like,
he did.
I was right about this.
Come on. Remember he said he had that like fever dream where he's like, it's going to be like a tight end from like a Division III school that we've never heard of that I haven't done.
Right.
Like, I was like, first of all, that wouldn't happen. Second, I bet you would still have some kind of eval somewhere in the back of your head about it because DJ is just that good and he puts in the work. By the way, here's my open petition to get Lance Zierlein on here. I had the most hysterical conversation with him about his connection to Dominican baseball players. The world needs to hear this. So Lance, okay. Please, I'm ready. Come talk to us. It's so funny. He's a hoot. He truly, truly is.
He's funny.
It's great. But man.
If I ever see him, I mean, I haven't seen him.
That was the first time I had seen him in person ever in the 5 years
okay,
I've been
here. All right.
He's like, are you real? Yeah, is this really happening?
I mean, there are just so many moments that are unforgettable. You know, Joey Porter Jr.,
yeah.
He was waiting in the green room, didn't get mm-hmm. his name called. And his dad, who played for the Steelers, was saying, hey, listen, this is disappointing, but this is fuel for your fire. We knew there was a possibility this mm-hmm. could happen. So ball out, show the world what you can do. Yeah. And as a dad, and I see my kids and they go through sports and activities and you ride that wave with them. And while you're dying inside, you want to be encouraging and you don't want that to show. So I imagine for him as a dad to encourage his son to keep going, like inside what he was feeling, but then to keep it together and give those words of wisdom and motivation to him. It's great. It's just another Porter playing for
the Steelers.
Yeah. And the Steelers, 4 of their 7 picks were defensive players. I think that's going to help out a lot. And I also think that Kenny Pickett will benefit from getting offensive line help, which he got mm-hmm. in that first round, as Najee Harris, George Pickens. So they've got something going there. And Mike Tomlin said that they had to shore up that defense because the AFC now all of a sudden has become a lot better with more signal callers that have entered the conference and in the conversation over top quarterbacks. So that was another, you know, moment that kind of stood out, you know, for me during this whole draft, you know, that we saw unfold after night one.
I'm holding, I actually saved Joey Porter Sr.'s speech to his son. It wasn't even a speech. It was a moment, but they were mic'd up, right? Like it was not meant for the world to hear. And I think we're very lucky that we got that insight into not just their connection, but into his words, because I think it's a message that can sort of resonate through any part of your life. In just, you can not control what other people are going to evaluate about you or say about you, or even where they value you, but you can control how you react from this moment. And I did like that he said, take it personal and then channel that energy into bawling out. I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and save this in my collections on Instagram. Whenever I'm having a bad day, I'm going to listen to that because it's a very true message. And he knows his dad has literally been in those steps, but it worked out exactly how it should have worked out. And I think what we're going to see is a player with a huge chip on his shoulder. It's going to be spicy. It's going to be spicy for sure.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So let's do a little post-draft y punto, because now, you know, we're getting into everybody's in Fiji and Bora Bora season. Well, not me, but players are anyway. What are your final thoughts here on as we evaluate the quote unquote off season? She doesn't exist, but that's what we've named it.
My y punto is that we are going to see now yet another wave of talented quarterbacks enter the league. And we're going to see, in my opinion, 3 quarterbacks in Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Anthony Richardson start. I believe they're going to start because they have the support systems behind them. For example, if you look at Anthony Richardson, mm-hmm. he now has Shane Steichen as his head coach. And Steichen coached Justin Herbert. So that works well for him. Exactly. And then you have Frank Reich, who was the coach for Carson Wentz when Carson Wentz was successful. And now he is going to be the one to help guide Bryce Young and transition him to the NFL. And then for the Texans and CJ Stroud, they have Bobby Slowick, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Texans, joining DeMeco Ryans in Houston. And he was with the 49ers mm-hmm. and he was the one that helped out Brock Purdy in his rookie season. So I feel that these 3 players are set up for success. How that unfolds, we will see. But I feel like my punto is we've got a new wave of quarterbacks coming, and let's see what they can do. And they are in a wonderful position to not only excel, but to do well with mentors there and coaches who know what it takes to help out a young signal caller.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you're absolutely right. But I also hope that people don't immediately pull out pitchforks, right? Like, remember all the headlines in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts when he so came out? Then last year, boom, MVP candidate, setting and breaking records at the Super Bowl. All right. Huge contract. Let's go. Give them a moment. It takes a beat sometimes. Everything's going to be fine. You know, I like to get a little philosophical sometimes on Ipunto, but I won't this time.
I'm here for it.
Because it is May and I'm tired. And everybody's going on vacation. Not us. Not just yet. Actually, I am. I'm gone next week. But I think it's that time of the season when we can really reset before the year ahead. Of course, we will still be here and we will be bringing you more insight, more fun guests, just really looking ahead to what's to come. There's only, what, 3-4 months, if that, before we really get 3 months, actually, before we get really back into our training camp mode. Because for us, I think people don't realize, Will, for us, the season starts in July, last week of July.
It does.
And then we go straight it's the end of through. It. Like, everyone's like, oh, September, my friends. Nope. July is on and popping for everybody here at NFL Media. So the next couple of months, I have the sense that we'll still be pretty spicy. But I am looking forward to everybody resetting because, man, this past season put us through the ringer in the very best of ways. But it was a lot.
Yes.
It was a lot. But, you know, we have our support system. We have our free therapy through El Huddle. You're welcome to join. Please share your thoughts with us, with the world. Subscribe, like, all of the fun things. We're here for you guys. We're here for each other and really excited for what's to come over the next few months, Will.
MJ, you said it perfectly. Mi prima hermana, adios. It's been real. Let's keep this thing going, huh?
I hope that you're super, super tan next time I see you. Make sure you get out to a warm climate.
It won't happen, but I'll try.
Love you, Will. Mean it. Bye, everybody.
Love you. Bye, everybody.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.